Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord doing great things amongst us? I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for what he's doing in me. I'm so grateful for what I know and the things that I hear that he's doing in all of us, really, as a body. And I'm so grateful that the Lord is patient, you know? He's kind, he's patient, he bears with us. I don't know about you, I'm so grateful the Lord bears with me. I'm so grateful that he bears with my naturalness, if you like. Do you know what I mean by that? My kind of dullness, spiritually, at times. I'm grateful. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, that's who he is. So he endures our naturalness, but hey, you know what? He wants to see it change, doesn't he? He wants to see, really, us become more like him. I know you know this stuff. Of course you know this stuff. Most of you are really well taught here. Praise God. But there's a revelation right there. He wants to make us more like him. Big-hearted, you know? Like Philip with this man, not withholding, but big-hearted. Seeing people's needs and not kind of saying, oh, bless you, and move along, but move to act, you know, loving people. But also, I've written down here, and this is an important thing, miracle-minded. The Lord is miracle-minded. He doesn't just have a big heart for people. He sees, I can work a miracle here. There's an opportunity, like this man in the pub, you know. It was in Joan's head because it was in the Lord's head. I can work a miracle there, you know? And really, I think so often we can be so natural in our thinking. We don't even think about a miracle. You know, we just say, oh, bless you. You know, here's a couple of Nurofen. Well, you know, the Lord wants us not to look for natural solutions. Of course, there are times when we need a physical, natural solution, but he wants us to be miracle-minded. So we think about God breaking in and working an absolute miracle. Yes, and amen, Pastor Andrea. I hear you. That's the truth, right? I want to tell you about an amazing man of God that I'm sure many of you here will have heard of. Some of you may have listened to his tapes. Yes, he's gone to be with the Lord now. His name is Kenneth Hagin, and he, oh my goodness, he's brought a wealth to the body of Christ over the years. And he was just such an anointed minister of the truth with signs and wonders following. He was the man who founded Rhema Bible Training College, I think it's called, in America in the 1970s, and there are various Rhema Bible colleges all over the world now, but an amazing man of God. And he brought this prophecy that I want to share with you in 1977, and he said this by the Spirit. We've got a slide for this. In the last days, men on this earth will walk and talk and act like God. In the last days, men and women on this earth, of course, mankind, will walk and talk and act like God. Now, I've written this down, and I keep it. Ever since I heard that, it caught my spirit, and I've written it down, and I keep it in the front of my Bible. And every time I read it, it kind of pulls me up. Do you know what I mean? It provokes me in a good way. It reminds me of why I'm here on this earth, to walk and talk and act like God. Something happens in my spirit. It's like I want to throw off the heaviness of my flesh and run my race. Yes, to win my prize, but gosh, for his glory. To see, you know, his will being worked out. Really just this outbreak or breakout of the supernatural. And the Lord's really been speaking to me about having this miracle mindset. You know, just what I was talking about a few moments ago, actually thinking about miracles, considering God opportunities, and really looking at impossible situations And seeing them from God's perspective, just like that story with Joan, you know, she prayed a simple prayer, I'm sure. But look, something happened. There was a breakout of God in that man's life, so much so he felt it. The doctor testified, something's happened to you. And, you know, there are big things that we face in life, aren't there? All sorts of problems that we encounter. Some of them are long term. And some of them are kind of nagging issues. They might not be a big issue, but it's like a nagging issue. And it goes on and on. I've had a couple of health issues, actually. One of them for years. And another one for months now. And it's like you can just tolerate it. Do you know what I mean? And in your natural mind, you just think, well, it's just like that. You know, and so you just put up with it. But I've got a slide for this. It says, a renewed mind thinks like God. A renewed mind thinks like God. So it looks at these nagging issues or these long-term issues or these distressing issues. Might not be a health issue, but a distressing issue, a mountainous issue. And instead of thinking, well, that's just the way it is, been this way for years, a renewed mind thinks, well, that can change. That can change. Because with God, church, what? All things are possible, Matthew 19, 26. There's nothing that he cannot do. And this is the challenge to us as a body, isn't it, this year? Look, forgetting what's behind, forgetting all the stuff that's gone on before, the prayers that haven't been answered or haven't seemed to be answered, the negative experiences, forget. Let's draw a line and say, do you know what, 2018, with God, all things are possible. And a renewed mind is aware of God, isn't it? The Lord wants us aware of him, considering him. Proverbs 3 says, trust in him at all times. You know, trust in him. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. So when you see the problem, or when you hear the problem, or when you feel the problem, acknowledge him. You're with God. You're not without God. God is with you. You are with him. Just say to the person next to you, I'm not without God. I am with God. Look, we could go home at that point and just say, right, I just need to grab onto that. I am with God. I am not without God. I am with God. But I want to take this a step further. A renewed mind doesn't just think miracles are possible. Listen to this, right? A renewed mind thinks miracles are logical. Miracles are logical, reasonable, to be expected. Because I am with God. It's all right. You know, you walk into your work situation. It's all right. God's here. I'm here. I'm with God. It's all right, you know. And this kingdom breakout will happen person by person, miracle by miracle, because we have this I am with God mindset. You know, we think like God. And we have in mind the things of God. I was really impacted by a lot of what I read this week in Matthew. But Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23 hit me like a train. Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. We've got a slide for this. Matthew 16, 23. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Or you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. I thought about myself. How much am I mindful of the things of God? And how much am I mindful of the things of men? We all have a mix of the two going on all the time. Some things of God, some things of men. Or some things of God, and some natural thoughts. And if you think about this in terms of percentages, let's just say you have a 20-80 split. 20% God 80% natural, or if you've allowed your mind to be transformed, renewed by the word more, you might have a better ratio. Maybe it's a 40-60 split. A bit better, isn't it? You know, but either way, it's partly renewed. We all have a partly renewed mind, don't we? Praise God for the part that is, but my gosh, the rest needs to catch up, be changed, doesn't it? Really getting God's thoughts or downloading God's thoughts. We've got another slide. And I saw this, like, you know, on a computer when it's loading files, downloading, it's like that, isn't it? Partly downloaded. We've partly downloaded some God thoughts into our natural mind. But you know what? The rest needs downloading. Don't stay happy with your 44%. You know, quick maths, what's the difference? The other 56 needs to change, doesn't it? Okay? For you, for your family, the people you live with, for your children, for your work colleagues, for kingdom breakout, that 56 needs changing. God thoughts. Things of God, not things of man. And earlier in Matthew 9, Jesus spoke about the wine and the wineskin, didn't he? He said, if you got new wine, you need a new wineskin. If you put the new wine into the old wineskin, it's kind of crusty and old. It's going to crack and burst. You lose the wineskin, you'll lose the wine. So you've got to have the new wine with a new wineskin. And this really hit me as well. And I thought, blow me, my mind is that wineskin. Your mind is that wineskin. Not just your mind, actually, your will and your emotions as well. Your whole soul. Think of it like that. My soul, your soul is the wineskin. So if we're going to be able to effectively carry the new wine of the Spirit, we've got to get some conversion going on here. Mind, heart, will, you know. It all needs to change. Really so that we're not a stumbling block. I think in the NIV it says an offense. Imagine that. Jesus saying to you, you're an offense to me. Your mind is an offense to me. It's strong words, isn't it? It's a real kind of, come on, this needs to change. Your 56% needs to change. And, you know, for his glory, for the outbreak of what we know in theory is possible, but we're not quite living in it yet, our word this year is an amazing promise from the Lord. 2018 kingdom breakout. Year of kingdom breakout. Love that slide, don't you? Boom. Breakout of God. And I just wanted to say, it's not just confined. He is not just confined to healing the sick. When you think of this kingdom breakout, I want you to think a bit more broadly, expansively, because God in a person's life is well-rounded. He's broad. It's not just the obvious things you think of. You know, well, that person's really seeing an outbreak. They're seeing, they're praying and healing the sick. Praise God. Or, you know, the Holy Spirit's really active in their life. They pray in tongues a lot. Or praise God. But he's bigger than that. He's broader than that. Wisdom. Untying knots like we've heard of. Patience, kindness, all the fruit of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit as well. You know, words of knowledge. Miracles, discernment. Don't we need that? Don't we need that? You know, God's thoughts, really co-working with him to see a breakout of his kingdom, his ways, his power in us and through us. Lord, let it be in Jesus' name. And we've been hearing, we've been hearing from the Lord the importance of hearing, haven't we? Because before any breakout of God, we need to hear him speak. Because when you hear him speak, you get faith, don't you? You know, like Joan, pray for that man. She heard him speak. And because she'd heard him speak, she had faith. And she acted on it. What happens? Kingdom breakout. Yeah. Evidence of God in that non-believer's life. I love that. But she heard him. But when we don't hear him, look, We have good intentions. We look at sick people and we feel compassion, don't we? You know, we have good intentions and we might know the will of God. But unless we've heard him, it's not enough. We've not really got the faith to see it through. And I'm so grateful that story about the disciples, you know, when they attempted to heal the epileptic boy, Matthew 17. They knew it was the will of God to heal him. You know, they will have seen him having one of his fits. They will have heard the stories that the father told. He throws himself into fire. He throws himself into water. I don't know what to do with this boy. I'm at my wit's end. And so they tried. God bless them. You know, and I thought, I was sort of imagining the scenario. Well, you give it a go. Well, no, you give it a go. And so, I don't know, let's just imagine, one by one, they gave it a go. They tried to copy the things they'd seen Jesus do. Well, let's command it. Right. In the name of Jesus, get out. Nothing, right. Spit on him. Do you know, were you there when he spat in that blind man's eyes? That worked. Let's have a go. Touch my clothes. Well, no, touch my clothes. Well, let him get touch your clothes. Do you know what I mean? All these things they'd seen Jesus. Well, let's try that then. Yes, faith, right? They didn't have the faith. They knew the techniques. They'd seen the kind of methods Jesus had used, but they didn't have the faith power. There was a power shortage, if you like, or a power failure. And, oh, it happens in our lives, doesn't it? Let's be honest. You know, we pray and things don't work. Jesus' assessment of that, remember? We're going to read it, actually. Matthew 17. Verse 19, it's the end of the story. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief." I think, oh, it's quite painful, isn't it? You know, when the Lord's, I've heard that before, because of your unbelief. "For assuredly I say to you, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Now, when I've read this story in the past, I'll be honest, I kind of looked at it, that was a real stubborn demon. That's what I thought. That was a real difficult, big one. That's why it couldn't, you know, it wouldn't shift. And it needed this specialist treatment. He goes on, "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." And I thought, oh, you know, that's because it was a real kind of stubborn demon. It needed the prayer and fasting, that one. And yes, okay, prayer and fasting is needed, but not because it's a particularly difficult demon, but because they need to increase their faith. Because we, let's fast forward however many thousand years, we need to increase our faith. We pray. Maybe we command, maybe we bind and loose, maybe we fast even. Pray in tongues. Try all these different things, and at times nothing seems to work. Let's be honest. I think Jesus' assessment is the same. Because of your unbelief. I don't believe it's like a condemning thing, but it's a like, look, this is the problem. Let me help you. Let me help you move from A to be, from your unbelief, from your doubting and wavering, into an assurance that when you pray, things are going to move. Amen. When you pray, things are going to change. And I think it boils down really to one thing. And gosh, the Lord's speaking to me about this. And it's appetite for him. Appetite really for the things of God, for the supernatural. Power of God, and in a sense, this is the crux of the message this morning. If we want to see this increase of faith, it will not just happen. There's no quick fix. We've got to really want it. We've got to really want our faith. We've got to be committed to seeing our faith grow and hungry, really, for the supernatural. Hungry for God, but hungry for the ways of God and this breakout of God. Fed up, if I can put it this way, fed up of the natural. Fed up of not seeing our prayers answered. Or even partially answered, you know. either no results or the low-level results. Well, it's something, but not quite what I was hoping for. I'm fed up of that, aren't you? I praise God and give him glory for the answers to prayer we do see, but gosh, there's more. So much more. Okay? And the world needs it. We need it. The world needs it. These, bless them, sheep without a shepherd. People out there, they try everything, everything. And there are so many substitutes to Jesus, don't we know it? So many counterfeits that really just put a plaster over things, cover things over, or try and help people manage, give them techniques to manage their problems. Well, Jesus came to deliver completely, to set free completely, to save completely, to do a proper job, if I can put it like that, a complete job. Like, there's no trace of this issue anymore. I'm set free. Amen. I can't even identify myself with who I was yesterday because something's happened in me. I can't explain it. I don't even understand it. God broke in. Kingdom breakout. And he has the power to do the best. I've written this down. He has the power to really do the best, but we've got to get hungry for it. Not settle. We can all settle. I can settle, you know. Settle with a little bit of God. Tolerate a bit of a health issue. Ah, well, you know. I've prayed. I've seen a bit of improvement, but, you know. Just how it is. Plod on. Come on. Jesus is bigger than that. He is better than that. He is more able. And I think if we just think of it in the natural, like do the comparison. If you are hungry naturally, it is a powerful motivator, is it not? Look, if you're really hungry, you can't settle, can you? Kind of becomes your focus. No matter where you are or who you're with, if you are hungry, you reach a level, you can put up with it to a point, but then you reach a level, it's like, I got to eat and I got to eat now. Let me tell you, first thing in the morning, do not stand between me and breakfast. I will mow you down. If I'm hungry, I'm hungry. You know, it moves me. It moves me to action. And if we are hungry spiritually, like, you know, look, if I'm hungry naturally, I will be moved to go get something I don't have. If we are hungry spiritually, we'll be moved to go get something we don't have. God's thoughts. God's ways. God's power in this. Come on, Lord, blow this open. Shake this up. Change it. Change the scenery. Look, a mountain moving. Your scenery's changed. You look out your kitchen window, if there's a mountain, it's dark, it's gloomy, and there's not really a lot to look at. If you're like immediately in front of a mountain, if that thing moves, everything changes. You've got daylight, for starters. You've got a wide open space. That's what the Lord is able to do with a mustard seed of faith. Mountain move from here to there. It moves. Luke 1:53, he fills the hungry with good things. Hungry. How hungry are we? Really? It says the rich he sends away empty. Well, what does he mean by that? Rich in your own eyes, self-satisfied, full of your own greatness, full of your own ideas of what to do and how to do it. Can't receive anything from God. If you're hungry, you're going to get filled. Yes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If we come to him hungry, there's something about hunger that moves him. Grace to the humble. We go to him hungry, we hear his voice. Have you noticed that? If you've really got an appetite for God, you start to hear his voice. Faith starts to rise. And actually your perspective changes, your perspective on you, your perspective on your life and on your circumstances. So I want to identify what I believe is a really important process for this kingdom breakout, and it starts with hunger. Hunger for God. If you're hungry for God, you go and listen. What he says is important to you. And if you listen, you'll get the faith. If you've got faith, you'll be moved to action. And if we will act in faith, boom, kingdom breakout. Do you know what? It's not beyond us. You might read that title and think, oh, you know, one day, wouldn't it be amazing? Won't it be amazing even? Just this sudden explosion of God. Well, that would be amazing, but I actually think it's going to happen bit by bit. It's going to be a progressive thing, and it's going to happen as we do this, person by person. If I could go along, every person here, person by person, starts to get this growing appetite for God, the things of God, the ways of God, the power of God, this dissatisfaction with naturalness, a need actually. And God, either you're God or you're not. You know, either he's true or he's a liar. We know he isn't. We know he isn't. We know he only speaks the truth. And so the problem, as Pastor Judith has identified before, is firmly on our side. Never on his side. He's always willing, always able. We got to grow in faith, church. I have to grow in faith. I want to grow in faith. I don't want to kind of spend the next however many years in church listening and speaking it even myself. Words, and not seeing what we're told we can see, this book of Acts stuff. Why don't we see it? Why don't we see it? Well, let me tell you, I believe it's because of hunger. It's because of hunger. You know, I think we can if we really want to. I think we could have our own book of Acts going on here in Taunton if we really want to. I believe the Holy Spirit was poured out in the first place at Pentecost because those 120 in that upper room, they were hungry for God. Shut the doors. Nobody's leaving. We're on our knees and we're praying. Jesus promised some outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what it's going to be like, what it's going to feel like, what it's going to look like. I just know he said it. We want it. We want God. How many people in this upper room do we have who are hungry for God? Come on. Come on. Hungry people get filled. We got to pray to get hungry, and we got to feed to get hungry, haven't we? You know, sometimes I think we're inclined to think that God is mechanical, like he sets a time and a date for things to happen. But you know what? I believe he cooperates with us. He's called it Kingdom Breakout. 2018, he's called it. He said what kind of year it's going to be. But you know what? I believe he's responding and will respond. How much do you want this? Kingdom Faith Southwest, whatever your name is, how much do you want to see it? Instead of just being a bystander and hearing other people's testimonies, how much do you want this? I believe Jesus came, actually, was born into the world in response to this tremendous heart cry that went up from the people in that time. The people walking in darkness, they'd seen a great light. Those who walked in the shadow of darkness, upon them a light dawned. Unto us a child was born. Unto us a son was given. Okay? God came. They wanted God. God came. They wanted God. They cried out. God came. You and I got saved because we wanted God. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I'd imagine every one of us here this morning is born again. We were born again because we wanted God. There was a day in our history we cried out for God. And you know what? In his faithfulness, in his goodness, he came to you. He came to me. He forgave our sins. He gave us a clean slate, a new heart. Where are we at now? Are you more hungry for God than you have ever been? Just asking. Or does God seem a million miles away? Because, quite honestly, your desires for other things, full of other things, lost your appetite for Jesus. Not completely. I'm still in church. But the shine's gone. I just want to sit with the word and read and read and read. Jesus, what are you saying to me today? What do you want me to do today? Have you got that going on? Well, I tell you what, if you haven't, the Lord can change that. Amen. It's all right. Well, it's not all right, but it can change, okay? Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to everything. He's the answer to every part of your life. The answer to every part of you, really. But he responds to the heart cry, the real cry. You know how parents, you know, they say parents know the real cry. They're able to discern what's the kind of wanting attention from the real, desperate, this is a real problem. I really, really need you, Mum. I really, really need you, Dad, cry. And it's that, when he hears the real cry, the yearning of the soul, I've written down here, he can't resist it. I know in my own life, and we hear testimony after testimony, week after week, people who've really cried out to God and seen their answer, got their miracle, okay? Something happens. Heart cry to God, when it's genuine from your heart, something happens. Something happens. But we need to pray. Pray to get hungry and read. Read to get hungry. There's something amazing about this book, isn't there? The more we read it, actually, the more we want to read it. You know, naturally, when you eat, you get full. Spiritually, when you feed, opposite happens. You feed on this, your appetite's going to grow. Because you start to hear him. Your ear gets open. You start to hear his voice. And it happens bit by bit. You know, day by day, chapter by chapter. The more we read, the more hungry we get. On day one, you may see no change in yourself. But let me tell you, by day 21, you'll say, praise God, I've got a bit of appetite for God back. You know, I'm loving reading the word. I think about Jesus more in the day, more alive to God, more conscious that he's with me, more sensitive to his voice. It's a progressive thing. Ask, seek, knock, Jesus said. We pray, something happens. We pray again, something deeper happens, like a deeper desire. It might start in your mind. You know, we might pray today because you kind of think, well, I should have an appetite for God, I'm going to pray. It might start as a mind thing. But if we'll continue to pray, it drops from the mind to the heart, becomes a real heart desire, you know, a genuine hunger. I want Jesus. I want to know what he's thinking. And I want to know what he's saying about this. I want to know what he's saying about my work. I want to know what he's saying about this health issue. I want to know what he's saying about this relational issue. Jesus, what are you saying? What are you saying? And somehow, miraculously, as we spend time with him, we change. I don't know how it happens. I'm just grateful it does. Somehow, when we spend time with him, our own desires kind of get a bit less important to us. You know, we're like freight trains, all of us, in our will. It's like what I want and what I want now. Well, that somehow eases off. And it's like, well, Lord, what do you want? I know I wanted this. But what are you saying then about that? Kind of your own desires get secondary. What a miracle. What a miracle. You know, this old, hard, crusty wineskin starts softening up, getting a bit more pliable, willing to yield. More God thoughts. This ratio in your head goes from a 20-80 to maybe a 40-60, or maybe even swing it around, you know, 60-40, 60% God thoughts, 40% natural. But gosh, look how far. I'd love for all of us to get to December of this year and say, blow me, look at that. I got a, I don't know, 70% God thoughts now going on. You wouldn't believe it. I can't believe it. I'm hearing God. I'm hearing God. I'm hearing God. In the last days, not just Kenneth Hagin, I believe the Lord says, in the last days, men on this earth will walk and talk and act like God. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. And let me tell you, I want to be one of them. I don't know about you. How about you? I want to be one of those. Know their God and do great exploits. God in our personality. Look, when you're full of God, he does spill out. People notice. God in your personality, God in your behavior. Breaking out, changing you, changing the world around you. Solving problems, untying knots. You pray, you get answers. Simple as that. Changing hearts, changing minds, changing bodies, changing circumstances, God breaking out. What's the alternative, church? Just a little bit of God, just enough to scrape by, squeeze into heaven. Dangerous attitude, that one. Jesus said, didn't he? You call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say. And what a waste. Apart from that, what a waste. What a waste of our potential. And I had this thought when I was preparing. I'm going to finish with this. This week, there was a thing on the news, wasn't there? They found this new blood test that can identify 8 types of cancer. Praise God. Praise God. But let's just imagine and dare to dream for a moment that in the future there is a man or a woman gifted naturally who finds a cure for all cancers. Imagine that day, okay? Now imagine that man or that woman before they find the cure, maybe just when they're on the brink of discovering it, decide, you know what, I'm done with this. Give my whole life to it. Doesn't seem to be working. I'm just going to give up and become a bus driver. Now, I've got nothing against bus drivers, but what a waste. What a waste. Wouldn't you plead with them and say, you're onto a good thing. You're going in the right direction. Please don't give up. Don't give up now. You're going to change the world. You're going to change millions of people's lives. Don't give up now. Church, what do we have because of Jesus? The cure to every disease. The cure to every sickness, the cure to every relational issue, the cure to every everything. Don't give up now. The world needs us to dig into Jesus and say, do you know what? I'm so sick of the natural. I'm so sick of all this need around me. I'm so sick of my own natural thoughts and natural ways. I have to see the power of God. And to put it like this, I don't want to settle. And I just want to encourage you this morning, don't settle. Just don't settle with your 44% and say, well done. You know, you've done quite well. You used to be 20. Well done. You just stay at your 44. The world needs us to go after God and not have in mind the things of men which are a stumbling block to him that he can't flow through because this old wineskin's so crusty and old, it won't listen. It won't bend and flex. It's just stuck with its 44%. If you sense a stirring in your spirit this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're hungry for God, but you want it to grow, I am going to ask you to stand. Or if you can say, quite honestly, I've lost some of my appetite for God, but I want it back, I ask you to stand. I don't think there's anybody here left sitting. If you are, you need to ask the Lord why. If there is anybody sitting, it's because you've been sold a lie from the enemy that's making you miserable. In fact, I don't think there is anybody sitting. We, come on, church. Think of that upper room. 120. How many have we got here? Some hunger for God, or at least some hunger to have hunger for God. We're going to pray, and this is how we're going to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus said this: "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We treasure lots of things, church. But the treasure of our lives needs to be, has to be, must be, if not for our own sake, for the world's sake, it has to be Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to pray a real simple prayer this morning, to get into twos and threes, and to just pray that Jesus will become your treasure more than ever before, that you will have an appetite for him more than you ever have, more than when you were first saved. Okay? Jesus, become your treasure, increase my appetite for you. Let's just get into twos and threes and pray. Thank you, Lord.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.